Today, our focus is going to be on the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Holy Spirit. I've invited Pastor John and Pastor Brian to read the scripture portions.
And then we're going to pray for you.
And then they're going to pray for me.
We're going to read from John 14. We're going to read verses 1 through 10 and 15 through 17. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen the Father has seen me, has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. And skipping down to 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you.
And then from John's Gospel, chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Let's pray. God, thank you for our brother Andrew, and for the ways that you have used him here in this place and among us as your people. God, encourage his heart as he shares your word now. And we pray that, Lord, we would see you in a fuller way, in a way that, Lord, perhaps we've never seen you before as a result of our time together in your word this morning. Oh, God, work in our hearts. Bless Andrew. Encourage him now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to send you an advocate, a helper. Now, in the Greek, the word that is used is paraclete. And paraclete literally means for somebody that comes alongside you. And I would like you to picture in your mind's eye being in a courtroom in heaven. The Heavenly Father is the judge. The defense is the Holy Spirit. You're on trial. The prosecuting attorney is Satan. And so the court comes to order, and the judge says, okay, prosecuting attorney, state the charges. And so he goes through all the lists: lust, stealing, lies, whatever else you can relate to. And the list is long. And at the end of it, the Heavenly Father looks to the Holy Spirit and says, okay, Holy Spirit, or defense, What do you have to say? And the Holy Spirit says, I would like to call a witness to the stand. And so he calls Jesus to the stand. And he says, Jesus, do you know this individual? And he says, yes. Years ago, this person came and surrendered his life to me. And the debt that I bore on the cross has covered all of those charges. And the Heavenly Father says, court, the charges are dismissed, court is adjourned. That is our paraclete. He comes alongside of us and aids us in defense, and that's especially true in the sense of in a legal arena. Now, there is a term, I'm going to do a little bit on terms today. It's called homeousis, which is the same substance as. In the First Council of Nicaea in 325 CE, they were all gathered to go over the controversy of Jesus, because many were saying that he was more than human, but he was not fully divine. And at the end of all their prayers and their seeking and their counseling together, they decided on the term in the Greek, homeousis, meaning the same substance as. When we looked at that portion of Scripture that talked about, Philip said, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. He said, Philip, have I been with you so long, and yet you still do not know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In another place, he said, the Father and I are one. So Jesus was saying pretty much the same thing. Can we allow that the third person of the Trinity is the same thing? Homeousis, the same substance as. Now, there are many of us who really love the Heavenly Father. And for others of us, it's the self-sacrificing Son. But for some of us, we're a little bit leery or wary of the Holy Spirit, because after all, the wind blows where it wants to, and you don't see where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So there's this element of unpredictability concerning the Holy Spirit that for some of us, it makes us just a little uneasy, and it's a little harder to relate to the third person of the Trinity than to the Father and to the Son. When Jesus came down and walked on this earth, Jesus put a face on the unseen God. And we can relate so much easier to the self-sacrificing Son than we can the Holy Ghost, even though he's holy. However, I'd like to point out to you that there are many places where Jesus was very unpredictable. Let us start with his choice of disciples. Okay? He had a lot of learned people in his day. There were Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers. He could have picked any one of them. He did not. He chose fishermen, a zealot who wanted to overthrow the government, and a tax collector, and a couple of other occupations that we're not even sure of. Now, that's not what the rational person would have chosen. Let's think about the fig tree. He's going by one day. He comes up to the fig tree, wants a fig. There's no figs on the tree. So he curses it. The next day they go by, and the fig tree has withered. Now, one of the accounts states that it wasn't the time or the season for figs. So exactly why is he getting so upset at this fig tree? We may never know, but the point is he didn't act in what we would consider to be a rational manner, okay? There are places with the woman taken in adultery. He says, he who is without sin among you, you cast the first stone. And one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, they all left. He looks up at her and says, "Woman, where are thy accusers?" She said, "There's none left." He said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Now, not for nothing, there was one person there who was without sin. Legally, under the law, he should have picked up a stone. He did not. He chose mercy. He was unpredictable. They expected him to behave in a particular way. Jesus did not. How about the times that he went and he put spit in somebody's eye? Or took spit, rubbed it in the dirt, rubbed it on the person's eye. In other places, the centurion says to him, "Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." Did he actually need the saliva? I mean, honestly. There are places where Jesus has acted just as unpredictably. And one of my all-time favorites, Jesus said to them, "Unless you chew on my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me." Many of them stopped following him after this. Now, cannibalism isn't something that a rational person actually considers. So exactly why does Jesus move in this way? There are places where when we as humans are looking at the actions that Jesus does, he is just as unpredictable as we attribute to the Holy Spirit. I think that we can say that all the persons of the Godhead, they're unpredictable from our point of view. You know, some of us relate really well to the Heavenly Father. Others of us to the self-sacrificing Son. But I think for all of us, that's because we each of us have our personal favorite. Now, we're not supposed to, but I believe that we all do. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that, and I don't think God gets at all upset with that. It's a human part to say, "I can relate to the Heavenly Father, the loving Heavenly Father," or "I can really relate to the loving, self-sacrificing Son." For myself, I can tell you that my favorite person in the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to share with you why. From the dawn of time, the Holy Spirit has been working among women and men, working in their hearts, raising up a covenant people, drawing unregenerate women and men. Now, I'm going to take us on a little journey just from the cross, but this applies even before the cross, but just from the cross. When you think about it, the Holy Spirit is given to us to walk alongside of us and to help us in the sanctification process. From the beginning of the cross, for women and men, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, century after century, millennium after millennium, the Holy Spirit has been walking alongside of all of us as we go through the sanctification process. And we lie, and we cheat, and we steal, and we lust, and we do all the things that are parts of the flesh, and we repent, and he forgives. His mercies are new every morning, and we start the process all over again. One life ends, another life begins. Throughout the centuries, the Holy Spirit has been there. What about his work among the unbelievers? The Word of God tells us that the Spirit, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will convince the world of truth and righteousness, sin, truth, and righteousness. Throughout all the ages, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, century after century, millennium after millennium, the Holy Spirit has been talking to the hearts of unbelievers. to talk to them about the things of God, to draw them to the Son for the forgiveness of their sins. When we talk about the long suffering of God, we do well to think of the Holy Spirit. He is the third person of the Godhead that is down here in our mess, who walks alongside of each and every one of us, who takes us and journeys with us. It says he seals us until the day of redemption. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you are marked with the seal for the day of redemption. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, and he put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing that which is to come. The Holy Spirit is God's deposit, a foretaste of what we will one day experience in fullness. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, for 33 years. But the Holy Spirit is Emmanuel, God with us, as we travel through this life and experience it in fullness on the other side of the grave. I'd like to ask you to pray with me as we look to the Holy Spirit for guidance. Holy Spirit of God, we thank you and we praise you that you are here and you are in our midst. You are our constant companion. You are the paraclete. You are the one who is called alongside of us. And Lord God, even in the courtroom, you were our defense and said not guilty. And God, through this world, you walk alongside of us as we stumble and fall and then get raised back up. You set us where you want us. Lord God, I pray that you would help us to understand that the wind does indeed blow where it wants to, and we don't see where it comes from or where it's going. But we trust you, Lord, just as much as we trust the Father and the Son, because you are all of one substance, and every single element is trustworthy and faithful in your very nature. We thank you that you are ours, and we pray that you help us to honor you more as we walk each and every day a little bit closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.